This episode of An Abundance of Not is brought to you by Amazon.com. Amazon affiliated with us. We're very happy about it. Please go to anabundanceofnot.com. Click on the Amazon banner and do all your shopping as normal. Bookmark for ease of use. We appreciate it.
And TLDRGamer.com. When you don't have a whole lot of time to read the gaming news and just want the brief excerpts, visit TLDRGamer.com. for the core info. Thank you to them for the hosting and bandwidth for our podcast. Enjoy the show.
Hello and welcome in to An Abundance of Not. Brad is using an abundance of profanity in the pre-show. We don't appreciate it. Well, actually, we do. It is July 8th. 9th. 9th.
9th.
That's a Wednesday.
Are you sure?
No.
Do we need to bring up a calendar?
I do have tequila, so fair warning.
Okay.
Yes.
Cool.
How we doing?
We're doing great.
Are you?
Actually, we're doing a little tired, but apart from that, we're doing
Amen
great.
Amen to that. I needed a nap today and never got to take one. Wait, how you doing?
I'm doing good because I had a nap today.
Wade gets to start. Wade gets to work tomorrow, which is not his norm. So,
that's because I took a 4-day weekend. Whoop-de-doo.
Hey, somebody's got to do it.
I got fireworks on my weekend. Woohoo!
Nice. I got airplanes on mine.
Ooh,
nice.
Tell us about that.
I think he did.
No, so that was last weekend.
Mm.
We went and saw the Blue Angels. This weekend, we went and saw the Air Force Thunderbirds.
The Air Force Thunderbirds. Yes. Is that like that old show with the marionettes and the Thunderbirds?
Yeah,
go!
You stare at a stage, and they've got puppets on the strings. And,
so it's a family event.
Yeah, yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah. No, we're talking the jet fighters.
Oh. Mm. What's the Air Force fly when they do the shows? So I think the Blue Angels are F-18s, right?
They are F-18s.
A.K.A. the Super Hornet.
I want to say they're 15s.
Okay.
I want to say they're 15s, but that is being checked currently.
Did either one of the shows use the new... the aerial takeoff, the F-35?
No, not yet. The Joint Strike Fighter. I have not seen that demoed anywhere yet. We went to a show, I want to say a couple years ago, where we did get to briefly see the F-22s.
The Raptors.
The Joint Strike Fighters have not been seen that I know of. The Thunderbirds use the F-16 Fighting Falcon.
Okay. F-16 Fighting Falcon. All right. Yeah, I'm under the understanding that the F-35, they actually have a few different versions of it. Some that have the vertical takeoff, some that don't for aircraft carrier purposes or whatever, and just different variations of that. I would think the F-22 would still be a superior plane with the thrust vectoring because it's got those two small jets that jet engines that can pivot, whereas the F-35 only has that giant output. But what do I know? I'm not an aerospace engineer.
You're not an expert, so listen to me.
Okay, you're an expert.
He did go see two shows in the matter of
two
weeks.
That's right. I am an expert. So the F-35 first flew in 2006, but none have actually been delivered yet.
As far as put into actual production or usage?
Yes.
Okay.
The estimated dates are December of 2015 for the Marine Corps, December of 2016 for the Air Force, and February of 2019 for the Navy.
Wow, you had that all on the top of your head?
Yeah, I'm good.
Wow. Good job, interns. Welcome back.
Thank you. Yes. Thank you to the interns. There are variants on it. Like you said, depending on whether it's conventional takeoff, short takeoff, vertical takeoff, is it rigged with a carrier hook for carrier landing, foldable wings, you know, they're all options.
Yours for the low, low price of $10 million.
No.
Nope.
Try 104 million with no engine.
With no engine? Really? Wow. That tax dollar is hard at work on that one.
Yeah. Yep.
Jeez.
So, yeah. Okay, so here you go. Contract date, July of 2007. They ordered six F-35As. The batch price was $1.15 billion for six.
For six planes.
Yep.
1.15. So let's average that to 1.2 billion divide by six. That's $200 million a plane.
Yep.
Functional.
Yeah.
So $100 million for the jet, another $100 million for the engine.
That particular variant, it's $161 million for the jet, $40 million for the engine.
Christ.
Kids, start saving your pennies.
Yeah.
Seriously. Oh, that's
but hey, it's a cool
fantastic
plane. My favorite is still the 22, though.
If we're talking actual planes in production, yeah, I agree. There's always that X-01 or whatever that... that we've seen in the Ace Combat games with the folding wings and the...
Oh, jeez.
Or, like, the planes that were in that movie, Stealth, where the wings kind of fold in. They could go to, like, Mach 7 or something
yep.
stupid. But anyway, that's all fiction. But awesome.
Yeah. I still like the CFA-44 Nosferatu.
Sure.
Fictional Ace Combat.
Yeah.
Alrighty.
You just fire
actually,
off.
One of my favorite planes is the Soviet Su-47 with the reverse pitched wings. And they got the small wings up front for steering and the large wings behind, but jutting forward instead of going back. I think those are cool.
I believe that is called a canard.
Canard setup. Design?
Yep.
That would make sense. As in a duck. It kind of looks like a duck. Wade, how was your extended weekend?
Kind of nice. I mean, you were there for most of it, but we did a lot of things this weekend. The first day was pretty much the same as my normal weekend, sit around and record stuff for the channel. But then it was July 4th. We went down to a new place where we don't usually go to see the fireworks.
That's correct. Yeah, normally we go to, there's a local man-made lake that we used to typically stick out a place south of the lake, and they'd fire the fireworks off the north end. And you get kind of a reflection off the water, and it was nice, and it was just kind of the family thing. But this year, with some of the stuff that's been going on since last year, we decided to change it up. Went down south to San Juan, and had a fairly decent time.
If in case we didn't want to... Darn near smacks a couple of kids for their
commentary.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we were saying,
there's a story there.
Oh, here we go.
So it was kind of a cool little gig. They had kind of a little fair there for kids and little rides and whatnot, little swings and stuff. Very, very kiddie, but something for the family, you know?
Sure.
They had a stage going on, so a band was playing for most of the afternoon. They had a few eats here and there. Anyway, what was kind of cool, though, is their fireworks, they synchronized them to some music. It was all choreographed. So the stage, after the band had left, they had their pre-recorded music of patriotic songs, and the fireworks kind of coincided, which was really nice and very different for us. But sadly, right behind us was about four kids and their family, and one of them decided to call out every firework that he saw, whether it had no tail, which he called an invisible, or whatever. And after about, you know...
Two-thirds of the presentation?
Oh, God. I had to tell him to be quiet probably five times. Now, he may not have heard me the first four, but I wanted to smack this kid. I was waiting for
so
his parents
to... So he was enjoying the show.
What's that?
I said, so he was enjoying the show.
And that's fine. enjoy it silently, you little bastard.
Well, then he had his brothers or friends behind him, you know. Freaking a star came up, into the firework that exploded into a star lookalike.
Yeah.
No, how well can you get that in a firework? It's kind of hard. But, you know, it screamed their head off, star! It's like, oh my god, shut up, please.
Yeah, it definitely bore down the
luster.
So, I was waiting for the parents to say something to me after the fact because it was just, couldn't stand listening to the kid anymore.
I was seriously to a point where I wanted to turn around, yell at the guardians, adults, whatever they were with, and go, hey, can you please tell your kids to please be quiet?
Yeah.
But, yeah, other than that, it was a great show. Music went along with the fireworks, and, yeah, great 2 days. Following after that, we went up to the block. There's just a nice little walk around a shopping area.
Yeah, it's the city of Orange. Within Orange County, they have a large shopping center called the Block of Orange, and we went up there and poked around for a bit, and my daughter got a couple of the vinyl pop figurines of How to Train Your Dragon to add to her already 2, so now she's got 4, which is fine for her. But yeah, just kind of vegged out a little bit there, nothing too...
Grabbed lunch.
Yep.
Bought a hat.
You sure did.
Apparently
hats
because...
were a good idea. I got blistered last weekend.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah. Apparently we're both sensitive to the sun, I guess. And
well,
then we went
I
to
knew
the...
I should have put on sunscreen, and I didn't. I wanted to work on my tan, and I regretted it.
You know what's funny? I got sunburn where I put sunscreen on.
That's because you missed.
No. This is the arms, and I did all the arm. And I got sunburn on that area.
Must have been weak sunscreen then.
30.
Yeah.
It's old.
It's old sunscreen.
Then we went to the Discovery Science Center, and although it's not a place for adults, per se, but, I mean, we did discover something quite, not fun, but quite amazing. Apparently, if you are a Bank of America cardholder, you get in for free every Sunday, or every...
The first
Sunday
of every
month.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Nice.
So we didn't know that. We show up just expecting to, you know, pay our way and go through. And all I had to do was pay for my daughter's ticket. The rest of us got in for free, which was nice.
Actually, I think our mom didn't.
She didn't know, but I'm sure she handed her the Bank of America card and they didn't swipe it because the receipt didn't have a value on it.
Yeah, I was kind of looking at watching the cashier ticket administration person. I was like, did she swipe my card? She did. Alright,
yeah.
Screw you, later.
Yeah, so, I mean, that was fun. I've been up there once before for a dance event back in high school. I think it was a...
Same here.
A girlfriend's prom or something like that, that I was out of school, I think, and I was able to go back, or homecoming, whatever it was, where you can attend when you're not in school anymore.
That place is a trap, though. I mean, it's... Originally $17 to get in per adult.
Yep, 12 something for kids. And then they have a Mythbusters exhibit right now, but that's like another $10 a head.
Nice.
For a stage show or something like that. So we did not opt for that, even though we saved almost $20 each. We didn't pony in that extra 40.
Yeah, I mean, that's the whole thing. It's like, oh, they're doing this amusement. Oh, wait, we have to pay an extra $10 to get in here?
Yeah.
What?
So we didn't do that. And I was kind of surprised at some of their quote-unquote exhibits that they always have out. They have like a little ice rink or kind of a little hockey exhibit because we have the Anaheim Ducks that are in the very near vicinity. But just a bunch of other little deals that are, you know, designed to educate in a fun manner for the kids. But some of them weren't all that either up to date, or they had malfunctions or whatever, and you'd think for almost $20 a head to get in there, they could keep their stuff working. So I was kind of surprised at that. they are working on doubling their size and building an add-on to the facility, so that's kind of cool. I decided to pitch in on that since I saved the $17 to get in. I pitched $5 towards their expansion project.
I like museums.
I did my good deed.
And science centers and all those kind of things.
It's more of an interactive museum, which is kind of nice, but still.
Those are awesome.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Something, I mean, you know, with kids, you go to a museum and they're like, oh God, when can I get out of here? But you give them something to do and they're fine. So we did that, and then we went over to one of the big animal shelters in our area just because it was really close by, and took a walk through there and saw some bunch of cats that were like, wow, why are you here? There is so many animals that are owner surrenders at 10, 12, 13 years old, and it's what happens to these people that they decide they can't take care of their pet anymore?
I'd like to think that it's people who can't take the fact of seeing their animal die, so they'd rather give it up before it
so
croaks.
They put the animal who has little left to live in a place where it knows nothing, knows no one, and is left there to rot. I mean, what's humane about that?
Hey, I don't do it, but there are plenty of people in the world who probably cannot stand that particular event.
So it's depressing. And I mean, there's a lot of chihuahuas and a lot of pit bulls there, with the stigma of pit bulls and the irresponsible breeding and all that kind of stuff. So it's sad. But I mean, there were some sweet, sweet dogs there, man. If I were in the market for a dog, there was a couple that I would have thought about. So anyway, if you're an animal owner out there, be a responsible one. That's all I ask.
Definitely consider rescue, by the way.
And if you're ever thinking about breeding your dog or cat at home, let it to people who actually are in the business, and not for the business of the business aspect, but are responsible breeders. I mean, we've done the dog show thing, so we understand the difference between just breeding your animal at home versus knowing bloodlines and pedigrees and that kind of stuff. So just
don't
do the right thing.
Spay and neuter your pets. And this has been a
public service announcement.
Yeah.
With that, we'll jump into some movies here. I just got popped in the top of the head by my cat. What, dude? What do you want? He decides he wants to be involved. So coming out this week, we have Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. This is with Jason Clarke and Gary Oldman and Andy Serkis, who we all know as Gollum and does a lot of the CGI-type work, body over type stuff. This has got a 98% rating, which is the highest rating we've had in quite a few weeks. So that'll be interesting to see. I'd like to try to see that in the near future, but this weekend is not in the cards, as we all know. It topped in the box office. Transformers, again, $37.1 million. Tammy at $21.6 million. 22 Jump Street holding strong at third at $9.8 million. And Deliver Us from Hell pulled in $9.7 million. And we do have a few honorable mentions here. Earth to Echo pulled in $8.2 million. The America documentary pulled in $2.7 million. And there was no mention of Life Itself, which was the documentary on Roger Ebert. So that's it for short and sweet on the movies this week, unless anyone's got anything to interject.
Nope, our movies were fireworks.
There you go. But in movie news, I think I mentioned last week the potential for a Moses movie titled Exodus, Gods and Kings. According to a trailer coming out with Christian Bale, it is far more than a rumor. So keep your eyes peeled for that. And if I didn't mention before, I know it was rumored that Jason Momoa was maybe Aquaman in the upcoming Batman vs. Superman Dawn of Justice. That has been confirmed. We will have a giant Samoan playing a mermaid.
Man.
Merman.
Merman. Sorry. Sorry, Jason.
I don't know. It might be interesting to see him as a mermaid.
We need to be politically correct here.
Don't hurt me, Jason. You're big.
A mer person.
And with that, we'll jump into some news.
We got an update from Aereo this week.
Mm-hmm. You almost sound surprised with that.
Well, yeah, we pretty much thought they were off the planet.
I'm surprised, and yet I'm not.
Okay.
It seemed to me that they had to have something up their sleeve. You don't just go, oh, okay, we lost. Sorry, bye, guys.
Yeah, here's all our cards on the table, and oh, we got trumped.
Yeah, we got nothing. Yep.
Yep, they went, here's the ace up our sleeve.
Yeah.
Kind of.
So, headline, the company without a plan B finds a plan C. They have decided to take their Supreme Court ruling and run with it. After still being tried to the broadcast industry is still trying to shut them down, they decided to grab hold of their Supreme Court ruling and wave it around like a shield. According to the ruling, the Supreme Court holds that Aereo is a cable system and not a free-to-air broadcast system. Therefore, it is, you know, subject to all the rules thereof. So it went, well, now you can't sue us for copyright violation. We're a cable system, so we're investigating licensing as a cable system. Hold on, subscribers. We're probably going to be back.
So they'll reestablish their company as a broadcasting network cable provider, legitimately as a broadcaster, as opposed to, hey, look, here's a loophole we'll try to exploit.
Correct. So the way it sounds, nothing firm has been established. This is all just legalese and lawyers' letters and stuff. But what it sounds like is that very little will change as far as the service is concerned to consumers, but they will now be paying the retransmission fees that they had felt they were exempt from.
So subscription costs may go up slightly. To
very likely
counteract that factor.
Very likely. Although, seeing as they no longer have to try and utilize that loophole that they thought they had found, maybe now they don't need a dime-sized antenna for every subscriber. They may just be able to tap directly into the broadcast feed and go, here you go, we're paying you for it.
Gotcha.
So, should be interesting to see how this plays out. They are down, but not out.
Well, and speaking of broadcasting means and whatnot, this actually came out a couple weeks back, but I didn't get a chance to bring it up. Nearly 100 movies had recently expired from the Netflix online streaming service. Apparently, the way that Netflix is set up is that movies have a contracted term as to when they will be available for streaming and whether they're not. I'm sure this is in an effort to free up server space for Netflix and bandwidth for streaming content. Some of those movies include Terminator, the Rocky movies, Aeon Flux, Taxi Driver, Bad Company, and do the math, about 96 other movies. So if you were hoping to see any of those, you're too late. But hopefully this just opens the door for another 100 movies to start their cycle in the streaming venue.
Sharknado 2.
Easy.
That's it's actually a thing, people.
Yeah, they're making a sequel of Sharknado. Let's everyone try to boycott that one, because the first one wasn't all that anything.
I'm waiting for number 3.
Yeah, those first sequels always suck. You got to wait for the second sequel.
They try and milk it too much, it flops, and then they come up with some new stuff for 3. So I'm holding out for Sharknado 3.
What's the matter? You didn't like the guy jumping through the shark into its mouth, cutting it throughout its end with a chainsaw?
So
it's movie gold, man.
Here, I didn't see one either.
I saw parts of one, and I believe Wade saw all of one.
Just sat like, you know what?
This and then I saw celebrities tweeting about one and wondered why. And then I saw the guys from Mystery Science Theater who like to take cheesy movies and poke fun at them the entire time doing a Mystery Science Theater of Sharknado, to which I thought that could be funny. And then I realized I'd have to sit through Sharknado. So, jury's out.
I saw, I can't remember if I saw an advertisement for it, or maybe I saw like a plot summary or something, and I was like, really?
Yeah.
No.
It's a cheesy sci-fi movie that somehow got popular because it's bad, and I don't know.
It's a human, it's like Human Centipede. Oh. It's another terrible sci-fi movie.
Speaking of, I saw someone do a panoramic picture of the... of like their living room, and a baby was crawling across the floor, and you know how panoramics get glitches. So the final product was a baby human centipede
with like six torsos.
Yeah, it was kind of hilarious.
Freaky.
Yeah. Anyway, moving on.
And this is actually normal procedure for Netflix. This happens fairly frequently. Stuff, their license for movies expires, they renegotiate, they add stuff, they remove stuff. Obviously, it would be nice if it was one of those, kind of like a library, you know, it was a collection of all human movies ever created. That would be sweet, but with the mess that licensing and copyright and all of that is, that just doesn't happen.
Understood. Just a heads up, if your movie you're hoping to go watch is not available, now you may know why.
Yep. This has been a second public service announcement.
That's right. We're all about it tonight.
Well, if you can't find the movie you want to watch on Netflix, you may be able to get into the Fortnite Alpha. This is the survival slash scavenge slash protect a powered node game from Epic Games. They recently released a gameplay footage trailer and re-announced their alpha sign up for the game. And I was actually hoping that we didn't have this power node thing, but neither of you actually watched the trailer. It is up on our show notes, but I would have been more happy if it was just kind of a more of a scavenge and survival build your base kind of game, other than protecting something.
So it's kind of like capture the flag or something like that? You got to protect your node?
Defend the flag.
Yeah, pretty much. That's what I was thinking. Huh.
I mean, the variants and enemies look pretty crazy. They're basically, most of them are, well, all of them are people who've shed their skin. Now, this is kind of a cartoony style, so we're not going to get all gruesome in here, but it's, like, one of them is just the husk, and it's, they're wearing, like, the human skin as, like, a hoodie, which is kind of weird.
That's strange.
Yeah. To say props on a design, though. So, the trailer showed off some gunplay and apparently some skill-based melee with a couple abilities thrown in there. This is the building aspect of the game. It looks rather really well refined. It's click and drop depending on what materials you have, and then you can go back to that wall and it'll bring up a 3x3 grid where you can choose which place that goes out, and that'll create a window. You can put one that's in the middle and lower, like left side, which will make a door. But yeah. And it did show a lot of ways you could use this as a protective defensive measure against all kinds of projectiles that would be lobbing against you during the night when the creatures decide to come after you. So if I do get in the alpha, be expecting a video of that. All the while, I mean, this
kind
game...
kind of like a mashup of Call of Duty, Zombie, Minecraft.
Yeah, I was kind of thinking the same
thing.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
it sounds like they don't know what they're trying to do, so they're trying to do all of it.
Yeah, all these games were successful.
So it should be successful if they're all in one.
You want to know the craziest thing about this, though? This game was announced before we started doing this podcast.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is this an indie title, or is this like a main company?
This is Epic Games. This is not.
Oh, that's Epic.
Indie.
Oh, yeah.
This is the guys who created the Gears of War franchise.
Fantastic.
You know, other Epic titles.
Yeah. but most notably the Gears of War franchise. So.
Intriguing. Well, should be interesting to see what the community reaction is when it comes out.
Yep.
Yes, indeed.
Keep it posted here for more information.
Speaking of more information.
Yes.
Back to you.
Go for it. Take it away.
I got nothing. I was just trying to move on.
Oh, that was your segue. Sorry, I ruined your segue.
Pretty much.
Did you guys hear about the study that Facebook conducted in secret on its members?
I heard something about something being said on findings or whatnot, but the parameters of which I know nothing about.
So, back in 2012, Facebook conducted a secret study on 700,000 users.
Okay.
I guess that's pretty much all of them. So they were studying people's moods, and their question was whether mood could be influenced if it was contagious. Now, this was done in secret. They didn't tell anybody. It was carried out by researchers from Facebook, Cornell University, and UC San Francisco.
And the NSA. Oh, wait, no.
No, they already know. They already knew the answer before they got started.
Yep.
During the course of the study, Facebook altered the news feeds of 689,000 random users to show them either more positive or more negative posts. It turns out moods are transferable, and depending on how they influenced their users' news feeds, they could actually make people feel happier or sadder. Sadder? More sad.
Less happy.
Less happy. Sadderest. So, Mark Warner, representative from Virginia, has asked the Federal Trade Commission to investigate, saying that this was not a good thing, that they shouldn't be allowed to conduct socially manipulative experiments like this without disclosure to their users. Facebook's response was, obviously everybody was upset. We take responsibility for that. We'll do better in the future at communicating. But more or less, it's a case of, did you actually read the terms of service? You said we could do this.
Yeah, and I always wonder what's in those terms of service, because when's the last time you read one start to finish, word for word? Don't say today, because you're a liar.
No, not today. A couple of weeks ago.
And it was in regards to what?
An Apple developer license.
Well, that would make sense that you would read that all the way. But, I mean, who knows what's in those
it
things?
Was
I mean,
like 50-something pages long.
No, thank you. selling your information. I mean, all that stuff could be in there that you're giving your consent to, or you don't have the rights to use whatever product or service it's asking this. So,
wasn't there a commercial with a joke with that where it's like someone was playing Satan and it was like, can you do that? It says, do you ever read those license agreements? No. Well, see you in a couple years.
Yeah, I don't know.
There's a commercial with that.
There was an entire South Park episode about not reading the user agreement and the things that they could do to you.
That doesn't surprise me. South Park's pretty good about bringing up those types of issues.
But, you know, it's kind of one of those things. We are creating, we are entering into legally binding agreements. And you're right. Half of us, most of us, 90% of us, don't read it. We just click through it, and we have no idea what we're agreeing to, which I think creates a problem with, as litigious as our society has become, the fact that this has to be gone through in such detail. I think it becomes almost ridiculous to expect somebody to read that.
Yeah, but
I mean,
the caveat
obviously
is,
for me with the Apple development stuff, I wanted to know what I was agreeing to. I wanted to know what I could and couldn't do and what I could disclose. And, you know, I there's potential being a part of the program to receive access to software that's not released yet. And Apple famously is very protective over stuff that isn't released. And, you know, I obviously don't want to end up in court. So, you know, I had to go through the terms of service very, very carefully. But, you know, it shouldn't be so ridiculous.
No, and but because they know people don't read them, they can put in there whatever they want. And if you click accept, that's on you as the user. I mean,
held.
You're told up front, you know, whether you chose to read it. Ignorance is not an excuse. That's on you, us.
Okay. Users. Let me twist this a different way then. Let's set aside the legal issues of this for the moment.
Okay.
What's your guys' opinion of this ethically? That this company, this business, has the ability and used the ability to manipulate and influence the mood of almost 690,000 people?
Well, I guess I'm going to devil's advocate your devil's advocate. I don't think this was done. Obviously, this was done as a test. Can moods be manipulated through this practice? Not so much, we know we can, so let's mess around with a bunch of people. So I guess that's one stake is to, it wasn't done as a malicious attack. It was done as a, hey, let's poke this ant pile and see what happens, which isn't great, I'll give you. But I think it's a different burden as compared to, let's just be evil to 700,000 people.
Okay, but how does that then fit into the realm of regulation? They are essentially conducting an experiment on their user's psychological state. Wouldn't that fall under a medical test then and therefore be regulated by the Food and Drug Administration?
It's plausible. I don't currently work for the Food and Drug Administration, and therefore cannot comment or speculate on the matter.
I do.
Well, no,
kind of.
All we're doing is speculation. But I mean, they're with no disclosure to their customers, apart from, you know, the generic terms of service that we can essentially do whatever we want with what you give us. There was no invite. There was no volunteering on behalf of these 700,000 people. They were just selected at random by this faceless company for a medical experiment.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. There should have been an opt-in, opt-out factor to that. Hey, we want to conduct X, Y, and Z. Would you be willing to participate? Yes or no? You click no, nothing changes. You know, you're left alone. You click yes and whatever, well, you've agreed to it. The sideball to this whole thing, though, is the mass populace addiction to social media that allows this to even occur. I mean, if you're spending that much time on your Facebook feed to allow your emotional state to be affected by it, you may need to re-examine what you do on a daily basis.
Well, let's be honest. I mean, you could look at 5 different posts and see so-and-so is in a relationship. Oh, that's good for them. I'm glad for them. Or so-and-so is having a kind of crappy day, and that'll bring you down. Or nevertheless, I mean, yeah, it's... I really didn't even need a test to tell you that would work.
Well, that's the other thing, too, is I mean, this is total rant material, but if I tell you or I on social media express that I'm having a good day, but I'm not around you to have my happiness really influence you directly, you're reading a bunch of words, to some people will get the opposite reaction.
Yeah.
You know, well, I hate you for having a good day because I'm having a crappy day. Whereas if you're around people where you can actually allow your emotional state to truly be infectious, then positivity typically overrules and can spread. But with the social media, internet, you know, we're so afraid to talk to people anymore that, yeah, you can affect someone's mood, but doesn't necessarily mean you're affected the way you want to. Wade smirks. negatively. Negative smirk.
What's a negative smirk called?
Wait, smirks. Well, now I'm depressed.
Screw him for smirking.
Why are you so happy?
That was like, screw you and your happiness,
buddy. That was more of an agreeing, like, yeah, pretty much.
Okay, but we are by nature empathetic beings. If you're having a good day, I'm excited for you. You know, obviously there are people that don't apply. I'm making generalizations, but on general.
It's the guy who's got...
If you're, sorry, you know, go ahead. If you're having a bad day, I feel bad for you. But does that make it okay to experiment on 700,000 people with no consent other than that, hey, you're giving us all this information and we may choose to do something undisclosed in the future. Sorry about that.
Yeah, no, I'm on par with the moral stigma of, is this right or not? I think we can agree morally that we look down on this action, but the problem is that morals don't always mean laws and legalities, and as we see, if we agree to something blindly, we more or less give people the right to do whatever they want.
There are consequences, sometimes unintended.
Agreed. Action, reaction. Good, bad, or otherwise. Moving on.
Moving on.
Wade, what do you got? You got a few other things, right?
I got a few other things. I'm going to keep the... What is it? The aura of epicness going. Mr. Cliff Bleszinski, the creator...
Of Blizzard.
No.
Oh. His last name was Bleszinski. I mean, I got the Blizz part, right?
It's near Chris Menson, but all right.
Nice try. I was throwing a dart at the board.
Creator of Epic Games. Yes, we just talked about them. Who stepped down, but he did announce that he was coming back and has now created a new studio, which he is taking over as CEO. Goes by the name of Boss Key. Yes, it is BOSSKEY. Their catchphrase is unlock the fun. And with his apparently cohort in this endeavor, a man by the only name of Brucey, is BRUSSEE. Whose LinkedIn page refers to him right now working at Volition Games, working on Battlefield Hardline. So Cliff did announce that he's working on a game under this new studio. And this guy is the sole creator of the Gears of War franchise. I mean, that was his brainchild, what launched Epic Games. So, can't wait to see what he's going to be bringing out of his hat for this new studio.
Should be rather interesting.
Big men with big guns, apparently, is what he's good at.
I'm not sure how to take that, so I'm going to just leave it alone.
You do.
I'm working on getting big guns. Anyway...
Anyway,
some news? Yes?
You kind of paused there, so I was trying to fill the void. I don't know. I'm just sitting here.
Sit there and look. Well, just sit there.
Okay.
So, some news from Cupertino, or rather, about Cupertino. Rumors surrounding the iPhone 6 are getting into high gear as we approach the usual time when stuff starts being announced by Apple. Still nothing, no word, no announcement, no invite. However,
someone left the phone at the bar.
Well, a video is making the rounds, supposedly showing the screen from what is supposed to be the iPhone 6. And as we have talked about before, speculating and possibilities, supposedly this screen is created out of sapphire crystals. which are a sapphire crystal, which makes it extremely hard. Links will be in the show notes to a YouTube video where the guy puts it through its paces with a hunting knife and keys, and it comes out unscathed.
I have seen that. I'm actually looking at a GIF right now, too, where a guy's got his shoe, is standing on the bottom portion of it, and is flexing the upper portion of the screen to about the 90-degree, maybe a little bit further point. And this is just the screen, obviously, isn't the whole phone,
right.
So don't get excited. Right. And it comes out totally fine.
Where all this gets even more interesting is Apple filed for a new patent, or filed for patent protection on a new fusing method for glass that would allow them to create a case for an electronic device. It doesn't say phone, but for an electronic device that is made completely of glass.
Well, I wouldn't imagine them to make the patent so specific when they can carry it over to the computers, the tablets,
sure,
all that kind of stuff. Why would you limit your patent and open the door for other companies to take advantage of the loophole that you've then, you know, given them? So that makes sense for them to be broad spectrum.
Absolutely. One of the three inventors named on the patent is the wonderfully famous Johnny Ive, who is Apple's design chief, responsible for the new look of the iPhones. In fact, the new look of everything coming out of Apple now. He's in charge of software and hardware design. Shockingly, an Apple representative was not available for comment.
If you could see my face, I'd show you my expressionless, shocked face.
I know. This is so out of character for them. Just a soundbite. Something.
Something. No. No.
No.
Yes.
Instead, they ignore
Done.
Us.
Fantastic.
So, Apple's patent generally describes electronic devices, but it does mention monitors, TVs, tablets, and cell phones.
Fantastic.
Yeah, so, you know, with it being as scratch resistant and as flexible as it is, perhaps sometime in the near future, maybe iPhone 6, maybe iPhone 7, we'll have a flexible phone that's almost indestructible.
And speaking of Apple, from hardware to software, an article came out on Huffington Post about the 6 apps that Mac owners need to download immediately. Now, these are apps for the PCs, not your mobile devices, and I'll try to run through them as quickly and as accurately as I, with my oh-so-amazing track record, can do.
I see what you did there.
You like that? So one of them is called Flux, F-L-U-X, and this is an app that modifies the way your screen looks depending on time of day. The statement is that natural light doesn't look the same at 2 p.m. as it does at 1 a.m., and neither should your computer. So this program, available for Mac, Windows, and Linux, along with iOS, changes your computer's computer, tablet, or iPhone screen as the day goes on. So as different light levels, it reacts differently. Another app is Monolingual. Many of us realize that when you're setting up your computer, there is a ton of languages that you... I've never even heard of. What this app does is it wipes all that stuff off your computer and only leaves a few of the core languages or the primary language that you select and frees up some of that space on your system for movies, music, whatever else.
Yay!
Yay! Because I don't know how to speak Femish. I don't even know where that's from.
The Iron Isles, maybe?
You don't know how to speak that, but you can speak High Valyrian.
I can, to a degree.
Yes.
So another one out is called Cinch. This is a multitasker. With this app, you'll easily create split screens just by dragging and dropping windows. So that's kind of cool for the multitasker in all of us. ADM is another pretty awesome app for the social media converser. This is a messenger that can combine all your primary messaging services into one, including GChat, Facebook, AIM, Yahoo Messenger, and pretty much any other type of messenger into a single unit with all your contacts in one.
It scares me that we even need that.
That's the way it goes. I don't know. Here's one for the streamer in all of us. Caffeine. We've all watched too much Netflix and had the screen pop up and ask if we're still awake and alive and want to continue watching. This app is a free Mac app and allows your computer to perceive you as there constantly and not go into sleep modes when you fall asleep.
All of a sudden, you've accidentally gone through every episode of House.
In one night.
So now I have to figure out where exactly I fell asleep.
Right?
Darn.
Yeah, was that between season 3 or season 4?
Well, just have to restart it.
Yeah. Season 1 it is. So let's see here. Final one on the list is called Clip Menu. It's a free app for Mac that lets you save a whole lot of items to a clipboard. That includes everything from URLs to text to photos. Whenever you copy something, it will be stored in a clip menu right in your computer's menu bar on the top right of your screen for you to access any of those copied files later on down the road. The screenshot shows a list of 10 items. I'm not sure if it goes beyond that, but it does utilize a hotkey, which is kind of cool. So, a lot of those are free. If they make sense to you, have at it. The App Store is your friend.
Wait, who did this list?
Well, it's posted by Huffington Post. I could tell the author's name.
No, but who made the list?
Huffington Post.
Okay. So that's what the thing is like. It's Mac saying what Mac apps you need.
No, but some of these apps are for Windows as well, or they're cross-system compatible, so...
All right, because I was about to say, it sounded like a lot of them were just like... Look, we're Mac. We're telling you what you need on our products.
But they're geared for the people that do a lot of things, for the most part, on their computer. Split screens, combining messengers, that kind of stuff. But the Flux system looks kind of cool. The monolingual makes a lot of sense. I don't understand why they do that. I think they, on setup, you should be able to select your language, and it doesn't even install the rest of the crap. But
I don't anticipate ever actually needing Cantonese, and if I do, I'll download it.
Right? I mean, that should be the option. When you're set up the computer, it accesses the core stuff at setup, and that's it. But
yeah,
what do I know?
Are you going to Persia? Would you like to download the Persian language? There we go.
No, I wouldn't.
Would you like your computer in Latin?
No!
Who the heck speaks Latin nowadays?
Nobody. The Black
Dead
Widow.
Language.
That's it.
That's just Russian.
She's Russian, but she can speak Latin.
It's medical, botany, and the Catholic Church.
Yeah, pretty much.
All right, well, Wade, moving on.
Yeah, Wade, you've got more? Brad's got more? Somebody's got more?
I got one more. Do you have any more, Wade?
I've got one more.
Okay, do your one, I'll do my one. Mine's a short public service announcement.
Alrighty then. Well, this one's getting probably short as well. The long-awaited expansion to the Hearthstone... Blizzard game, virtual card game, Hearthstone Heroes of Warcraft is due out this month. I actually kind of saw this coming. We had a blue post, which is from a forum admin stating that it would be out this month, and I do believe that I have the particular date when it would be. We have the current season going on with the reward at the end for reaching a certain rank in the game being the Noxramas card back. Now, it doesn't take a genius. Yes, I'm calling myself stupid. To figure out that we will have the choice of using the Noxramas card back with the expansion Curse of Noxramas. So,
okay.
What?
I don't understand what either of those are. Elaborate.
The Noxramas card back is you get get an option for different styles of card back. Basically, the back of the card that you see as an artistic-wise. You don't have to pay for them. You just have to get to a certain rank within the game in the ladder. And
so it's artistic work that's unlocked through gameplay. It's like an achievement thing.
Yeah, pretty much. It's reward for getting to a certain level within that season.
And that'll carry over into the expansion once you've unlocked it.
Yeah.
Cool. Starting again.
Yeah, it would seem that we would be apropos to get the to be allowed to use the Naxxramas card back with the Naxxramas expansion. So to believe that we are going to see the expansion, obviously, this month, but when this current season ends, which will probably be sometime in the middle of this month. So we also do have a little bit of pricing for each of the wings that will be released throughout the several weeks that are coming up. Each wing, except for the first wing, the Arachnid Quarter, which will be free upon launch of the expansion. Each separate wing past that will be cost $7 in US, in your regional equivalent, or 700 in-game gold. So
that's, and can you earn gold from gameplay, or do you have to buy gold?
You can earn gold through gameplay with just winning 3 matches, which nets you 10 gold, or completing certain objectives, which they give you daily quests each day. You know, one is win a set amount of games with this particular class, kill certain amount of enemies with this much cost or higher. Sorry, you were saying?
Achievement prizes.
Well, yeah, basically.
More or less.
Yeah, finish a quest, here's a reward, come back tomorrow for more. So, a lot of people are looking forward to this. I myself, and you will also be seeing that on the channel when it comes out.
Stay tuned.
Yep.
Awesome.
Indeed.
You public service announcement for our traveling friends. Due to increases in security requested or otherwise known as demanded by the United States TSA, if you are on certain flights inbound to the U.S. from foreign countries, make sure that your electronic devices are fully charged. Apparently, there is some rumbling, you know, what do they call it, chatter, that there might possibly sort of kind of potentially be some threat to security, maybe sort of from electronic devices. Therefore, they are demanding that when you show up to the airport at inbound aircraft, especially from the UK, that you can demonstrate that these are functioning electronic devices. You will be required to turn your laptop on, turn your phone on, turn your iPad on, and demonstrate that they're real.
I mean, it makes a lot of sense to me.
It's going to be kind of hard, though. And if you think you're going to be wanting to use these devices while on flight, and you have to be like, oh, better hold off, because I got to make sure this is charged so it turns on to show the TSA guys when I land.
That's also true. It's a fair statement. I mean, all these people got to go through customs anyway, so it makes sense to be thorough. But, I don't know, you're a traveling man. Obviously this doesn't really affect you, because you always do domestic stuff, but...
Right.
You see this as being a huge burden, or do you see this as something that makes sense from a safety standpoint?
I do see it as being a huge burden, and I see it as being probably minimally effective as far as security goes, but that's par for the course. Sure. I mean, with the shape of, you know, the dangerous items, shall we say, can be shaped nowadays. I mean, what's to stop you from making a laptop that can turn on and do nefarious things as well?
That's, I mean, it's fair. So your statement is just because it looks like a laptop and it turns on and functions as a laptop doesn't mean that it's not something else also.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a fair statement also. Fair statement too.
I mean, you're going to eliminate the idiots.
Yeah.
And admittedly, a lot of criminals are idiots. But, you know, they've been talking about these guys as being, you know, high class, really intelligent, recruiting intellectual people to do really smart terroristic things. You're not going to fool them with a simple, hey, does it turn on?
Yeah, seriously. I mean, look at the size of tablets now that you can convert and whatever and
yeah,
embed into a laptop case.
Hey, does it turn on? Okay, good. Now let's show me your calendar. Is there any kind of terrorist activity planned on?
Yeah. Did you put anything in your calendar about, you know, you doing a dangerous activity today?
Yeah, that's true.
I see why they're doing it, but I don't buy fully its effectiveness. Like I said, you'll catch the idiots, but you're not going to catch the smart ones.
The ones that are the real threat. Nope, that's fair to say.
Yep. So, you know, kind of like the security measures that we have now, it's you catch the idiots.
I agree.
The guy with the bomb in his shoe.
Yeah.
Trying what do you mean you got to take those off to go through
your
security?
Pants. I mean, come on.
Yeah, seriously.
That dude was walking on his tiptoes, and you know it.
Don't jump.
Yeah, right. Well,
public service announcement.
Nice positive thoughts for me to take with me traveling this weekend.
Yep.
Thanks for that.
You're welcome.
Make sure to have your things fully charged.
And with that, guys, that's been us for another rendition, edition, episode, whatnot. Of an abundance of not. Installment. That's a good one. I should have used that.
Ooh,
but you did.
Good.
So we'll catch you next time. Keep posted. We'll see you then.
Keep on
gaming.
That's
a wrap.
We here at Abundance of Not do appreciate you listening in and would also appreciate you sharing us with your friends via the Stitcher Radio app and also iTunes. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter and join us at Facebook. Thank you.